Don't do it. Don't dare do it. Don't dare miss heaven. There's a lot of people in our world today that is trading their souls, and they're giving up their souls because of people, because of material things, because of people's desire to be wealthy. A desire to be wealthy is not a problem. It is when you start going against the will of the Scriptures, when you start allowing other things to become before God, that's where the problem gets in. There's a great number of people today in our world that is literally trading their souls for the things of the world. I want to share with you several different things this morning. I want you to think about what's going on in the book of Luke. If you would, head over there, Luke chapter 12. And I want to share something with you. Luke chapter 12. And let's share together a few passages of Scriptures found in verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, the Bible says, "And he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there I'll store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, the Bible says. Eat, drink, and be what? Be merry. But God said to him," watch this, "thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God." I did not list this passage up here because I wanted to make sure that we brought that in together. I wanted to just kind of throw that out at you and let you know that this individual, as we look at this, even though this is a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, you can get the impact pretty well. I would say very clearly, actually, that this guy traded his soul. Would you agree with that? For the things of the world. He was not concerned about anything but himself. He was showing that I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater. He was literally exchanging his soul for the things of the world. There's another passage of Scripture, and there's another situation in the Bible you can think about in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You can think about Ananias with her husband Sapphira, who brought for some money, laid it for the apostles' feet. But here's the problem. The problem wasn't laying the money at the apostles' feet. The problem was not that they sold the land or that they sold the possession. The problem was that they lied to the Holy Spirit, and there was a little sense of greed there, wasn't it? So they were given an opportunity to repent, to change that, but what did they do? They lied to the Holy Spirit. And what happened to both Ananias and Sapphira? They dropped dead right there. They were done, weren't they? So we know that they exchanged, if we may, they exchanged their soul for the things of the world. Don't exchange your soul for the things of the world. Let me say this again to everybody in here. Don't miss heaven. That's what I want us to drive home today. Say that with me. Don't miss heaven because you exchanged your soul. Headed back over to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Watch this. Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 26. Let me share this with you. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16, 24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples," and are we his disciples, everybody? Absolutely. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then do what? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake," the Bible says, "you will what? For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And there, that question could be asked to everyone, should be asked to every single one of us, amen, to make sure that we are not exchanging our souls for the things of the world. I'm not talking about just money. I'm not talking about just a bigger house. I'm not talking about a better car. Nothing wrong with wanting those things, but don't let that become your God, small g. But I'm talking about totally going against the Scriptures. When you know something is not conducive to what the Bible says, and you participate in that, do you understand that you are jeopardizing your salvation? Do we get that? We are jeopardizing our salvation. So there are things in this world, and if I stood here and told you something different, I'd be a barefaced lie. There are things that this world has to offer that I'd like to share in. Anybody else? There are some things that can be, I'm not saying I'm going to, but there are things that are very attractive, and that's why we have to be very careful. Anybody else have to be careful besides the preacher? All right. And some of you are just lying because that hits every single one of us. Temptation comes to everyone. And the reason that for those of you that are sitting there and said, no, you're lying, is because of what Jesus did. in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, even Jesus was tempted, wasn't he, by the tempter. But did he give in? No. Did he compromise what his Father told him to do? Absolutely not. And you and I cannot compromise what the Scripture says and still get to heaven. I'm listening. Amen. So Matthew 16, 24 through 26, you saw exactly what the Bible said there. Well, let's go back a few in Matthew 6. Is that all right with everybody? Matthew chapter 6, let's see what the Scripture has to say here. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve how many masters? He'll be, watch this, for either he will hate the one and love the other, he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. It is not within your power to be able to serve both. You cannot be lukewarm. We have an example in the book of Revelation about a church called Laodicea that was lukewarm. And we know what happened to them, right? Jesus, what did he do? Did he accept that? He said, I wish you was either cold or hot. But because you're not, I will out of my... Okay, so he's rejecting that, isn't he, Heather? He rejected the church at Laodicea because of that, and he'll reject you and me as well. Do not compromise. Do not miss the mark. Do not miss heaven, brothers and sisters. There's another passage of Scripture found in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, watch this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what else? It's not of the Father, but is of what? The world. Not everybody's with me. Are we in verse 16 together? All right, join in congregation. Watch this, I'll call on you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the, there it is, the pride and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. 17. The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God, the Bible says, you will what? Thank you, Teresa. You will abide forever. In the book of James, Jared, James chapter 4, down in verse 4, the Bible says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, he wants to be a friend of the world, makes himself an enemy of God. Are you getting that? So if we are more concerned and more enticed and our mind and our attention is drawn to the things of the world and the people of the world than that of what the Scripture says, you are making, I'm not doing it, you're doing it. You are making yourself an enemy of Almighty God. If you make yourself an enemy of God, brothers and sisters, I submit to you according to Scripture, you're going to miss heaven. Everybody in agreement? There's going to be countless people on the day of judgment that's going to appear before Jesus Christ, appear before God on judgment, and think that they had everything right. That's what's scary, isn't it? There's going to be a plethora of people. They're going to come from business people, attorneys, funeral people. There's going to be preachers. There's going to be what they call pastors. There's going to be deacons, elders, song leaders. There's going to be a bunch of people that appear before God on judgment. We know we're all going to. And they're going to get shocked, aren't they? They're going to have that judgment day surprise when Jesus says to them, depart, I never... But they're going to look up, actually, they're going to say, wait a minute, Jesus. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We went to church every Sunday morning, went to church every Sunday night, went Wednesday nights. I gave him a contribution. I took the Lord's Supper. I even drove the church van, Lord, and you're not going to let me in heaven? I don't get that. And then he's going to bring up Matthew chapter 7 down in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, listen closely. You cannot perform a multitude of alms and still get to heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. Do you understand that? It is by the grace of God, the will of God, and our faithful obedience to God that God, by His grace, will say, well done, enter into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that what we're longing for today? But if we miss that, if we fail to do what He's calling us to do, we are reminded of Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, the Bible says for the what? But the gift of God in our... what's the word Lord mean? Master. So Jesus Christ, our Master. Now, let's get right to it. Don't do it. Don't trade your soul. And let me be very clear. Don't trade your soul for anyone or anything. Amen? Say that with me. Don't trade it for anyone or anything. I've been married to Paula Ladd for 43 years from November. I love Paula. I'm serious. I will let the doctors take the heart out of my body to keep her alive. But I don't love her enough that I'm going to exchange my soul for her. Amen? I don't love Paul enough that I'm going to allow her to keep me from heaven. I love Larry, but I don't love him enough I'm going to give up my salvation. Heather, everybody else. Jeremy, I love you. Don't know you, but you're a brother in Christ. I do love you, man. But I don't. Let me be clear. I don't love you enough that I'm going to give up my salvation. Are we clear, everybody? All right, Bobby, I might you. You're kind of cute. I'm just kidding. But the reality is what? Don't give up our soul. Don't miss heaven. If you do, let me give you some points. If you miss heaven, if we together miss heaven, we will miss the greatest, most grand reunion that has ever taken place. Y'all agree with that? It'll be the greatest reunion of all times. Can you imagine being in this beautiful place called heaven? Being in a place, Brother Jerry, where all the faithful, obedient children of God are there waiting on us. Can you imagine, Heather, showing up on Judgment Day, being there, and being in this beautiful place with all of the people that love God the way you love God? Is that going to be awesome? To worship Almighty God. Think about it. If you miss heaven, if I miss heaven, we missed it all. Heaven is so great. Heaven is so grand, brothers and sisters, that I have to submit this to you, that it remains unspeakable. Even John in the book of Revelation, boy, did he struggle trying to just describe how beautiful heaven really is. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, 18 through 27. Kind of gives us a little bit of an idea. The construction of its wall was jasper. The city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. Jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, seventh chrysolite, eighth beryl, ninth topaz, tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. Look at this. You would have to be a jeweler to know about all this, right? But he's still putting this, John is putting this into words about how beautiful heaven's going to be. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun and the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, verse 24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the king of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations to it, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written finish it up in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it warrants the question, doesn't it? Is my name today written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It warrants another question. Will my name stay in the Lamb's Book of Life? It will. Now, I'm not up here saying that the possibility of apostasy is not real, because there's a whole bunch of people that fall away from the truth. But I also believe in God in Revelation 21, or Revelation 2:10, that if you're faithful unto death, Jesus says, I will give you the crown of life. And I believe in the promises of the Lord. While you're in Revelation 21, go back to 4 through 7, if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 21, 4 through 7. The Bible says, and God will wipe away every tear from the eye. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Is that what the Bible says? All right, you ready for five? Everybody ready for five? Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these things. For these words are true and faithful. Number six, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the waters of life freely to him who, the Bible says, thirst. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my what? He will be his son. Do you see now how awesome heaven's going to be? No tears, no sorrow, no death, no pain, no suffering, no sadness. I long for that place, amen? And I'm not going to compromise it for anybody else. Not a person and not a thing. Listen, if we miss heaven, you and I, we will miss being in a place for eternity where there are none of those things, where there is no more of those things. I also have to think about what the Bible says in John 14, down around verse 2. I love what Jesus says. He says that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what does he say? I'm going to come back and get you. Is that what he's telling us? And I'm going to take you to where I am. There you may be also. I want to be part of the place that Jesus Christ himself is preparing. So don't do it. Don't miss heaven. If you do, listen, you're going to miss out on the most grand and beautiful place ever conceived. Is that about right? The second point, it's going to sound a little bit like the first. If we miss heaven, we will miss out again on the greatest reunion in all times. The greatest reunion of all time. I want to emphasize how great this reunion is going to be. I don't know if when I get to heaven, if I'm going to recognize my mom the way that I knew her here. I don't know that because I've never been there, but I long to go there. I don't know if the people that have went on before me, if I'm going to recognize them when I get there. But I do know one thing, it's going to be a happy moment because the Bible says no tears, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no more death. There is no more sadness. So I don't think that I'm going to get to heaven and go, wait a minute, my dad didn't have a beard when he was on earth. Now he's got one now. I don't know that I'm going to see him like that. I don't care if I see him like that or not. I just want to see the face of God. I want to see Jesus Christ. I want to see the one that took those stripes for me. I want to see the one that carried my sin and my guilt to that cross. That's who I want to see. But I also know that God promises us a place of everlasting rest. If we miss heaven, you're going to miss that, let me add this word, family reunion. Amen? We'll miss that family reunion. And I know the people in this congregation, I've known you, what, for 9.5 years now. And I know when there's a family reunion, people tear out to go. And you always say you're going to bring me something back, and you never do. But that's okay. I'm almost forgiving you right now. Almost. Real close. But we do like family reunions. Can you imagine this family reunion? Getting into heaven. Seeing our brothers and sisters in Christ, seeing those that have went on before us. Folks, there is no doubt that we want to go to heaven because we love the Lord. Isn't that right? There is no doubt that we want to go to heaven because of just how beautiful it will be. We just talked about that. But can you try to imagine how great it will be to have that awesome reunion with all the Christians that have went on before us? We will be happy, once again, to be able to see the very face of God. Folks, if I miss heaven, if you miss heaven, if we miss heaven, we will miss out on the greatest reunion that has ever taken place or ever will take place. I think about 2 Peter chapter 3, down in verse 13. The Bible says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which the righteous dwells. A place, my friends, where the Christians will share. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. The Bible says, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a what? He's prepared a city for who? For the Christians. For you and me, amen? How great it's going to be, a city for the righteous. So I pray today, and I hope that you do, that we don't miss heaven. I hope and pray that you don't miss heaven, that we together don't miss heaven. If so, we will miss the greatest reunion of all time. The third point that I want us to think about. If you miss heaven, listen, you will realize the tragedy of taking for granted the blood of Jesus Christ. If you miss heaven, you will realize the tragedy of taking the blood of Jesus for granted. Sadly, there are people in my own family today that's taken the blood of Jesus for granted. I'm not saying that from a judgmental standpoint. I'm saying that because it's blatantly obvious. That makes sense? I love my family. I love even the people that don't love me. I'm struggling trying to love my enemies the right way. I'm struggling with that. But hey, you know what? God knows my heart. It's the truth. If I say anything different, I'd be lying. It's hard for me to love those that don't love me. Anybody else struggle with that? All right, two of us, three of us. Jeremy's like, yeah, maybe. And so the reality is, I know the Bible says love those that don't love you, right? Bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And be good to those who fight for you and persecute you. I don't know about that. That's a little bit hard. So somebody's going to just talk bad about my family and dog me out and do this and do that other. Bless them. Oh, I'm going to bless them. I mean, I didn't mean it like that. I know we're supposed to bless them, right? We're supposed to do, are you ready? Let's get serious. We are to do for them what Jesus did for us. We put him on the cross. We beat him. We scourged him. We made fun of him. We made a mockery out of him. We put signs above his head. We did all. We stripped him of his clothing. We beat his back. We beat him to death. We put nails in his, big nails in his wrist, his arms, his feet, didn't we? And yet, what did Jesus say when he stretched out his arm? Father! And then you got people like me who struggle because somebody said a couple words against me. You got people like me who's going to hold a grudge because you said this about my wife, or you said this about my son, or you did this. We better man up, amen? We got to get with it. Quit holding a grudge. Quit acting immature. Close our pie holes, all of us, and let's do what God is calling us to do. Live for him. Amen? Say it. Live for him. There's a lot of people, sadly, taking his blood for granted. How do we know that? I look back at the number of lads today that's not in the worship services anywhere. Got one landing in one state, one in another, doing this, that, and the other. And, oh, well, we love Jesus. Yeah, do you? Well, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. I'm not judging them. My family's watching right now. So be it. Whatever. I'd rather to be mad at me and then get things right with God and go to heaven, amen, than to be popular and not worry about telling the truth. The truth of the matter is we all got folks. And here's what really gets to me. Let me get on my soapbox for just a second. I'll get off in a minute. Isn't it odd the people that never darken the doorway of a church building, never read the Bible, never gets involved in that, never really takes on the blood of Jesus Christ, never baptized with the forgiveness of sins, never involved in any of that, yet when things go wrong or somebody in their family dies, they say, well, I know that he's in a better place. I know that she's doing a lot better, and I know that I've been praying to my Heavenly Father. You don't even know who your Heavenly Father is. The Bible tells us in John chapter 9, verse 31, now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God, he hears them. So these people today, Brother Larry, they got to wake up. Because there's people today among us and people in our own families, but we're too worried and we don't want to hurt your feelings. Don't. If you say this from the pulpit, Jerry, they will leave. Goodbye. Adios. You cannot lose an account you don't have. Amen. My boss taught me that years ago when I was selling. He goes, don't worry about it. Call it out like it is. Ask for the close. If they don't want to close, get rid of them because your commission lies on it. Goodbye. You didn't lose an account you never had to begin with. If a person is not a child of God and they go to hell because you didn't tell them about Jesus, you're responsible. And so am I. Amen. But if we share Jesus with them and we show what Jesus has done in my life and what he's done in your life and what he's going to do on judgment day, and then they reject God, that's on them, isn't it? Amen or not? But don't you dare take the blood of Jesus for granted. Because when we as Christians take the blood of Jesus for granted, those on the outside looking in, they're going to see that, aren't they? And they're going to say, well, he and Jeremy and Teresa and Ma and Sis and Lad, they're Christians, but look at this. Listen to the way that guy was talking. Look at the places that he frequents. Look at the people that he hangs with. I'm not saying that we should ever think we're better than anybody. We're not. As a Christian, we're in a better position than what they're in. That makes sense? But we're never better than anybody, and we are to never talk down to anyone. Talk to them. That makes sense? One thing I loved about my dad, he was a big old boy. Big guy. 6'2", 300 pounds, big monster. But I remember this about my dad. Even though he was rough, even though he was tough, when he would want to talk to us when we're in trouble for something, seriously speaking, he would have us to sit down, Larry, and he would go down on one knee. And he did that, And I used to think that would be a good time to kick him over and then run. But I didn't. I never was brave enough to do that. But I do appreciate what Dad used to do with that. He used to kind of get down so he was talking to us before he'd beat us after that. I mean, before he'd keep going. But that's what we should do, isn't it? We should talk to people. I'm not saying to be a Joel Osteen and tell everybody that no matter what they're done, they're in an adulterous relationship, they're fornicating, they're drunkards, they're revilers and all these things, and just pull a Joel Osteen. Everything is fine. It doesn't matter. God loves you and I love you and my wife loves you and my son's in the band now, so send the extra 100. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about keeping it real. Amen. Keeping it real meaning don't take the blood of Jesus for granted. He died for you. Do you understand the price that was paid? Sadly, there are countless people that, and this is what really gets me sometimes as a minister for 30 years. The number of people that hear the invitation of God being sent over and over and over and over. And they sit at the pew and they wonder why their life is in the shape it's in. They wonder why they can't maintain a relationship. They wonder why they can't hold the job. They wonder why they have no relationship with their family like they did. They wonder why their finances is falling apart. They wonder why they just feel rejected in every aspect of life. It's because you've rejected God. Amen? Let's just call it what it is. I'm not saying that the day you become a Christian, everything becomes perfect. But it does. Your walk with Christ, even though we've sinned and fall short, Romans 3:23, in God's eyes, because we washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are made perfect, aren't we? Amen? I want us to make sure that we're not taking His blood for granted. For those of us that have yet to be, or not us, for those of you that have yet to be baptized into Christ, look deeply into your life. Look deeply into your situation and find out what it is that's holding you back or who it is from holding you back from taking those right steps to become a child of the Most High God. Mr. and Ms. Non-Christian, what in the world is holding you back? Mr. and Ms. Wayward Christian, the one that kind of comes and goes whenever you want to or a crisis about, why not today take that step? Look at your life and find out what's caused you to turn your back on Jesus Christ. What is it that caused you to fall away from the fold of safety? Looking at your life, try to determine what it is that is causing that separation, that space, if I may, between you and God. When we have space, and don't dare, I'm not one of them preachers that's going to get up here and paint it perfect. There are times in my life when I came to this church, I've told you this before, I was in the SICU unit, the Spiritual Intensive Care Unit. I was in trouble. Yeah, I preached at College Grove Church of Christ for 14 years. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, did what we were supposed to do. But it was a job. It wasn't my passion for Christ. Do we get that? It was what I was doing. Why was I doing it? I don't know. I went to school. I graduated a preaching school, and I started doing that. That's kind of what I was doing. I got in such a routine. When I was preaching the gospel of Christ, I was feeling nothing, so I was nothing. Amen? But when you regenerate, when you look back and go, what is the real purpose? And the real purpose is to glorify God and bring as many lost souls to that fold of safety as possible. Oh, it'll give you a new life. The first step in our healing today, brothers and sisters, is realizing and knowing what we need. We need God. Say that with me. We need God. We got to have Him. We all need. You can claim any of the righteousness that you want. Every one of us, from Darlene all the way around, we need a revival, don't we? And I'm not talking about the big tent that goes in the parking lot with hot dogs and hamburgers afterwards. That ain't what I'm talking about. Let's use good grammar, Jeremy. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a revival in our heart. Heather, are you with me? I'm talking about a regeneration. How do we regenerate our heart? How do we have that revival? Right here in the Word of God. I don't care if you're in the shower. You sing and you make melody in your heart to God. I don't care what you're doing. Let's get our Bibles out and let's study the Word. Let's make sure that we're in this book more than we are Facebook, okay? Let's make sure that we are going by the true oracles of God and not what some preacher with bad dental has to say. Get involved in the Scripture. Let's do what God called us to do, because if not, we could miss heaven, couldn't we? Are we in agreement so far? Romans chapter 5, 1 through 9. The Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have, watch this, access by faith into His grace, in which we stand, rejoice, and hope in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom, watch this, who was given to us. And we remember that, right? Acts chapter 2, 38. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Did y'all see that? Christ died for who? We can say Christ died for me, right? Okay. For scarcely, the Bible says, for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Something we talked about with that word justified, if we break that down, when we wash in the blood of the Lamb, it means what? Justified, never sinned before. And so we've been justified. And we are justified by the blood. If we miss heaven, that means this. If you and I together miss heaven, do you understand that means that we are the ones that crucified Jesus? Yes or no? Do you understand that that means we are the ones that beat our Jesus Christ? That means that we are the one that stripped his clothes off of him. We are the one that nailed the sign up. We are the one that pierced him in the side. We're the ones that did that. If we miss heaven, because that means he died in vain in our life. Yes or no? If we miss heaven, that means that we literally took the death of Jesus Christ for granted in our life. Let me give this closing remark and we're out of here. If we miss heaven, I promise you this. God promises this. It will be the saddest of all and for eternity. There will never be anything as sad as missing our spot in our home. I've seen some sad stuff. I've been in the funeral business and mortuary business for over 20 some odd years. And I've seen some things that are horrible. I've seen some of the most graphic things I've ever seen when I was at the coroner's office doing transports and removals, et cetera, et cetera. I saw, and I still to this day see some horrible things. Nothing can compare to the tragedy of a person missing heaven. I promise you that. Nothing compares to that. If we miss heaven, it will be the saddest of all and all for eternity. I assure you that nothing in all the world is more sad than doing that, than hearing those words depart from me. Can you imagine missing heaven after all that has been done for you? After Jesus Christ did what he did for you and for me? If we miss heaven, listen to this, you will not have and I will not have one single friend or one single loved one that'll ever reach out to us again. Do you realize that? If we miss heaven and we get sent away to a place of everlasting darkness, the Bible says separated from even the power of God, we can't even pray to God anymore, can we? We're not going to have one person. My Aunt Myrtle Dean's not going to say, wonder where Jerry's at, because remember what the Bible said, there'll be no tears. If they know I'm in hell, then they're going to be sad. So they're not even going to know that. But I'll know it if I miss heaven. You'll know it if you miss heaven. If I miss heaven, we miss heaven. You can look at a little thrilling example of what I'm talking about a little later today, Luke 16, 19 through 25. Look at that later today. But if we miss heaven, you and I will never again see the light of day. We'll live in hell. We'll live in outer darkness for eternity, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So do you really understand what it means today if we miss heaven? I hope you do. I know I just barely touched it. If you and I miss heaven, you will be residing forever and ever and ever for eternity with folks that we didn't really want to be around while upon this earth. Are you ready to meet your new family? For those of the individuals that keep putting Jesus Christ off, that refuses to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, that refuses to live a faithful, obedient call to Jesus Christ, is it okay very quickly as I close to introduce you to your new family? Is that all right? Okay. So I want you to meet today your new resident you're going to be with for eternity. You're not going to spend eternity. You remember what our policy is about that, or God's word is about that. Jeremy, if you give me $5, I can spend it. It's gone, right? You can't spend eternity. You can't. Eternity means forever and ever, amen, doesn't it? So let me introduce you to your new family for those who will not put Christ on in baptism, those who refuse to live an obedient life. I want you to go in this corner and see a bunch of fornicators over there. A welcome to your new family, because that's who's going to be in hell. Amen. Those that are unforgiven fornicators, are they going to be in hell? If you don't believe me, go to the book of Galatians chapter 5 later today and look at 19 through 21. Adulterers, the one that looked very lightly on adultery, no big deal, don't worry about it. Buy the, you know, Try the cow out before you buy the cow. Make sure the milk's good. No, you're hell-bound if you're going to work on that. Murderers, thieves, liars, backstabbers, greedy, those who cause discord and division, drunkards, revilers, those who shed innocent blood, those that also trouble the very spirit of Almighty God. These are your family. Those who you're going to dwell with for eternity. I don't like being around them up on the earth. Just being true. I'm being truthful. I don't like being around drunkards. I don't like being around adulterers and fornicators and all that type of people because I'm human and I don't want that negative influence on me. Does that make sense? Because it wouldn't take, I don't care who that preacher is or who that elder or deacon is. If you put me in a situation where everybody and their mama is committing adultery and that becomes a regret and I'm desensitized to that, it won't be any time before I can find myself engaged in that. If a person says, oh, that can't happen to me, you are nuts. You understand me? You're nuts because negative influence can get a hold to anybody. And don't ever underestimate the power of Satan. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walk about like a roaring lion. Over in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Don't miss heaven. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't miss heaven. If you walk out of these doors today, and you're not right with God, I don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you need more help than what I'm able to give. Maybe you need a little psychiatric help or something. I don't know. But when I see in the Bible what God tells me to do to be able to be a joint heir with Christ in heaven, why would I reject that? Why would I let that go? Why would I go, no, God, right now I got this going on, that going on? No, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised today. I buried an 11-year-old this past week that I stood by his graveside and cried and cried and cried. I buried an 11-year-old child and also buried a 101-year-old lady as well. It's a little easier when someone's of that age, but when someone is so young, that's hard to do, brothers and sisters. The reason I said that is because we don't know when our last breath is going to be taken, do we? But we do know that one day we will. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed once for man to die, after this the judgment. Are you ready for the judgment? I'm giving you an opportunity. God's giving you an opportunity through me to help you if you need anything. If you want to become a Christian, hear God's word. Well, I gave it to you, and I showed you by Scripture the things that I shared with you today. Don't say Jerry said, say the Bible said. You got to believe, Bobby. You got to believe. You got to repent. You got to change the way we're living. That's all of us. Repentance is lifelong. It's hard. I do good sometimes, and other times I really mess it up. But I'm still striving. I'm not perfect. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Then we are to make a confession. That confession is, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I know He died for me. Upon that confession of faith, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live a faithful life unto death. Always remember that we are indeed, maybe you are a Christian, but you've wandered from the fold of safety. Maybe you've been caught up in a religious routine. Scratch that, man. Let's get it right. Be where you need to be able to grow in Christ Jesus, because your eternity, your soul depends on it. If you have a need, any need at all, come now together.